Douglas Crook, Wednesday, September 8th, 2010.
This evening we're ready to consider chapter 5 of Proverbs, and due to the subject matter, I've asked Christy if she would take the children from kindergarten up to junior high age up to have a special lesson of their own. So, Sister Christy, if you'll go ahead and take the children. We'll be turning to Proverbs chapter 5. The subject matter of chapter 5 is a warning against the temptation to adultery. And I have felt impressed to deal with the subject in more detail than I normally would like to. I'm not sure exactly why the Lord is leading that way. I will, of course, deal with it as tactfully and as tastefully as the Scripture does, but I also want to deal with it as clearly as the Scripture does, not only in this passage in Proverbs. It's possible that there are those that need to hear it that are sitting here tonight. It is possible that this may be something that may be simply a tool of ministry, that you'll have the recorded sermon to offer someone that may need it in the future. But for whatever reason, I'm going to obey the leading of the Lord and deal with it in more detail than I care to, but I believe is necessary. The Bible actually has a lot to say about the subject, the sin of adultery. And adultery can simply be defined in these simple terms. It is a sexually intimate relationship by a married person with someone other than their spouse. In other words, an extramarital affair. Now remember the context of Proverbs. We're not just taking this subject and dealing with it out of the context of our normal study. We've been reading about the general blessings and benefits that come from being wise and acting wise, the wisdom that comes from fearing God, from understanding His instructions are loving, they're right, and they are wise. We have also considered the dangers of foolishly neglecting and failing to heed the Word of God. And the Bible has a lot to say about adultery. We're now going to get into the specifics of what it means to be wise, and this is the one area, one specific, that we're going to start with. But the general blessings that we've considered, keep those in mind, because it comes from paying attention to God's instruction concerning this area of our life. You cannot pretend to be wise and enjoy its protections and its blessings if you are ignoring and not heeding the Bible's instruction in this area of your life. Not only of the actual act of adultery, but of all the wise instruction that God gives you to avoid ever getting close to the sin of adultery. If you are going in the path of adultery, even though you may not yet have committed it, you are not being wise. You're being a fool. And all of the things that we've considered so far apply to that foolish decision. Obviously, this lesson is going to be primarily directed at married couples. But everyone will benefit from it if we will contemplate this as one area of the wisdom of God. If you're not yet married and hope to be, this is something you need to already be tucking in your heart and your mind concerning God's instruction. If you're not presently married and have no intention, Sister Mary Backus was looking through the tracks and she found one she hadn't seen yet. It was on the track on divorce. And she said, "Oh, I want to read that." "Well, not that I have any plans," she said. So, but she just wanted to know the instruction of the Word of God, and that's a good thing. And so not every sermon applies directly and immediately to every individual, but the Word of God is always beneficial. And at the very least, if none of this applies to you, you will know how to pray for our couples. And it's important for us to pray with an understanding of Scripture, to pray for one another. So please don't just turn it off because you think it may not apply to you. Before we read chapter 5 of Proverbs, I want to give some very alarming statistics on adultery so that we understand how relevant this fifth chapter of Proverbs is. Oftentimes you hear the Bible isn't relevant to today, it's out of date. Well, I want to give you some modern statistics that will emphasize just how relevant the teaching of the Bible is on this subject. You can find a number of different sources for statistics on this, and they do vary quite a bit. But no matter whose statistics, numbers that you use, all of them are alarming. And for this particular study, the stats that I'm using are by a man by the name of Bill Mitchell. And he was simply an investigator whose job it was to find and expose adulterous affairs. That's how he made his living. And so these were the numbers that he had in his book. The sin of adultery is committed in 50 to 70% of all marriages. Now, is that alarming or is that not alarming? 50 to 70% of all marriages. And when you begin to consider just the realm of Christians, those numbers don't change a whole lot, sadly. And when you even begin to consider the area of pastors and elders and spiritual leaders, the number of adulterous affairs among them is also alarmingly high. And often it leads to devastating consequences for the congregations that they serve. So clearly, with nothing else but those stats, and I'm not done yet, there's a clear need for scriptural teaching on how to avoid the sin of adultery. There's another set of stats that I believe is related to Proverbs 5 and adultery and the path to adultery. And that has to do with the subject of pornography. Pornography is not technically adultery, but it is sinful. It is corrupting, it is vile, and it often leads to adultery. The dollar amounts of the pornography business, they are overwhelming. It's a multi-billion with a B dollar business. It is estimated, according to these stats, 28,250 people view pornography every second on the internet. I want you to try to process those numbers. It's hard. I'm looking at them here so I can kind of capture it. But 28,000, over 28,000 people a second are viewing pornography on the internet. About 70% of those are men. And what I found surprising, 30% of them are women. And you actually can increase the percentage of women that are being tempted to emotional infidelity on the internet when you add in the great number of women that are on the internet in the chat rooms and the social that are connecting with men who are not their husbands. And so the 30%, I believe, can actually be increased when they try to find their emotional intimacy on the web. If you think that pornography and these emotional infidelities are not a problem among Christians, here are some stats from some Christian sources. Promise Keepers, they did a survey at one of their gatherings of Christian men, and they found that 53% of Christian men admitted to having a problem with pornography. This is just the Christian section. 53%. 45% of Christian men admit that addiction to pornography is a major problem in their home. A website called pastors.com, they did their own survey among pastors, just pastors, and found that 54% of pastors admitted to viewing porn in the past year. Does that astound anybody? Do you think the scripture is relevant to today? Part of the reason that this may be so prevalent among God's people is because of the failure of people like myself to deal clearly and directly with this subject in the light of Scripture. Adultery clearly is a problem. From time to time, the question comes up, which is worse, homosexuality or adultery? A quick study, or an in-depth study, either one, of Scripture reveals that God considers homosexuality a greater abomination than adultery. I believe that's clear. I believe we can substantiate that clearly with Scripture. We're not going to take time to do that. Because homosexuality is the perversion of human sexuality that God created. It's a vile perversion of what God created. Adultery, on the other hand, is not a perversion of human sexuality. It is the abuse and misuse of that human sexuality. But to understand that God considers both of them serious, I want us to look at a few things. When I think of homosexuality and how it's plaguing our society, God's wrath fell upon entire cultures and brought them to ruin, primarily for the sin of homosexuality. That's pretty serious. When I think of our own country, I have concerns. The wrath of God. Having said that, according to the statistics I gave on adultery, and according to the teaching of Scripture, some of which we'll look at, as far as the sheer numbers of God's people that fall into the trap of sin, the sin of adultery is far more prevalent among God's people and has destroyed far more lives than the sin of homosexuality. And to ignore adultery as not being as vile as homosexuality is to stick your head in the sand and to ignore the teaching of Scripture. Under the law of Moses, the penalty for homosexuality and adultery was what? It was the same, wasn't it? It was capital punishment, death. So God clearly takes them both seriously. Turn to Jeremiah 23 before we get to Proverbs. Jeremiah 23. And here we see a prophecy concerning the judgment of God falling on his own people, Israel. And part of the reason, one of the reasons that God's wrath was going to fall on his people was because of the sin of adultery. Now, often in prophecy, spiritual adultery is referred to, and that's certainly a part of the context here. But as you look through, there are times when adultery means adultery. And this is one of those cases. God in this passage is going to compare his judgment on Israel for their sin of adultery to his pouring out of his wrath on Sodom and Gomorrah, which we know to be primarily because of the vile, perverse sin of homosexuality. Jeremiah 23, verse 10. We'll just read two verses here, jump around a little bit. Jeremiah 23:10. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of a curse, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. The course of life is evil. Their course of life is evil. And their might is not right. Jump down to verse 14, same chapter. Also, I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers, so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me, and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. So clearly, God takes the sin of adultery serious, and we as God's people should as well. His grace is sufficient to deliver from both sins. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that can deliver a homosexual. It's the same grace of God that can save an adulterer or an adulteress. It doesn't matter what the sin or what the background is. When you come to Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness of sins, and it's the only thing that will give you power to change your life. And so that's why we put so much emphasis on the gospel. That's our mission. We're not here to try to dictate people's external actions. We are here to give them the power that will change their life from within to bring about real change in their life. But then as we come to us as God's people, we need to yield to that new life within us if we're going to be victorious over the temptation to any sin, and specifically in our study, this sin of adultery. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. I'll make some comments as we go here. The temptation to an extramarital affair often appears as something that is sweet and exciting. And we need to understand some of the elements of the temptation of sin. It seems like this will be something that is sweet and pleasurable. But verse 4 says, in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, which I understand to be one of the most bitterest elements you could possibly find, and sharp as a two-edged sword. So instead of kissing lips dripping with honey, you're kissing wormwood and a two-edged sword. Those who fall for the lie of seduction, the result is bitterness, pain, and injury. It includes emotional, financial, and at times even physically. According to the stats that I read, 10% of affairs result in physical abuse with their spouse at some stage in the affair. So quite literally, there is that physical harm. Verse 5, her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life. Now notice the instruction of wisdom. It's not just don't commit adultery. It's don't even ponder her path. So this is why I included pornography in this lesson. Because if you are viewing pornography in any form, in any media, you are pondering the path of adultery. Lest you ponder her path of life. Her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Part of the seduction of an extramarital affair is that you think this person is finally going to solve your problems and make you happy. When you begin to think your spouse is the problem of why you're so miserable, and you focus only on that, you think, here's the answer to that. This other person, they will make me happy. But here's another statistic to confirm the lie of that thinking. 70 to 80% of the time, extramarital activity lasts only 6 months to a year. And here I thought all my problems were over. And instead of leading to happiness and joy and fulfilling all your needs, now you've just complicated your life and everybody around you, because it's not going to last either. 70 to 80% of those affairs are over in a year. Verse 7, therefore, hear me now, my children. And do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her. Now, this is part of the wise instruction. This is not just, good advice. This is wise instruction. You remove yourself far from her ways, and you do not go near the door of her house. Part of the answer to avoiding the sin of adultery is being wise to avoid placing yourself in the temptation. And few of God's people take this seriously. I've had people mock me when I have told them that there are certain steps that they need to take to avoid this temptation. In the modern workforce in which we live, it's made up of males and females, and you often have no control whatsoever of who you work with. And there's nothing you can do about that. Nevertheless, there are things that you can do to be wise in your relationships in that workplace. Be careful not to form close emotional bonds with someone who is not your spouse. And you say, oh, you know, but we're just friends. You know how many times as a pastor I've heard how those relationships starts out? You know, we were just friends. I don't know what happened. Well, you became emotionally intimate with someone who was not your spouse. You weren't wise. You got on the path, and when you head down the path, you're going through the door. Physical contact with the opposite sex in the workplace. How you dress. I have been criticized for being a clothesline preacher. Well, I'm sorry. The destruction of adultery is a devastating thing. And if dressing in a way that the Bible describes as modest, if you can avoid the devastation, then I think we need to hear the instruction of Scripture. Sharing intimate details of your life with the opposite sex, with someone who is not your spouse, it is foolishness. It's that simple. 50 to 75% of extramarital affairs involve someone from the workplace. That's a big number. So clearly God's people need to learn to be wise on the job. Once again, you can't control your every situation. You can't control who you work with. But you can control how you conduct yourself in the workplace. We need to be wise. Verse 9. Because if you don't, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth, and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. 10% to 25% of spouses having an affair will bring their household to financial ruin because of that affair. Lest aliens be filled with your wealth. Could maybe put lawyers in there. Do you see how relevant the scripture is? Verse 11, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, not even considering the danger of sexually transmitted diseases that consume bodies. The simple toil of stress that comes from living a lie takes a toll on your body and consumes it. I've dealt with those that have lived the lie of adultery. And they are consumed physically and emotionally and many times financially. In verse 12, and they finally say, some of them, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised correction? I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. How often have I heard these words from people that ignored the clear teaching of Scripture? Oh, I know. You can always find someone who will say they're glad they had an affair, that it worked out for them and they're better off because of it. You will find those who say that, at least at the time, that particular time that you talk to them. But my experience is this. In dealing with those who've cheated on their spouse, it's exactly what I read here in Proverbs. Why didn't I listen? What was I thinking? But now the problem is they carry all the scars. And God's grace is sufficient for those scars. There is forgiveness and restoration after there is repentance for this sin. But saints, let's avoid the scars that we can. And we can do that if we'll listen to the voice of Scripture. Verse 15. If you're going to avoid the pain and remorse of the words that we just read, you need to heed these wise instructions. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. This passage is quite clear. God intends for sex in a marriage to be mutually pleasurable. When sex is confined to the bed of a married couple, it carries with it the very blessing of God. Far from being shameful and dirty, it is said to carry the very blessing of the Almighty God, the Creator of life. This is what Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 13:4, that marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled. It's speaking about the sexual relationship between a man and his wife. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. In this passage, sex with your spouse is compared to pure, cool, refreshing water of a spring. That's pleasurable. It's good. It's healthy. But adultery is compared to sewage flowing in the street. Now the question is, how can the same physical act bring joy and pleasure in one setting and such pain and devastating destruction in another? That doesn't make sense, and that's the argument that most people give you. It's just sex. But why is the difference? Well, the same way that fire in a fireplace can bring warmth and comfort, while fire uncontained can bring death and destruction. We're seeing that, aren't we? So many of God's people deceive themselves by saying, you know, it's just sex. What's the big deal? Well, that's like saying, lighting a match and throw it in your couch and say, well, it's just fire. You see how foolish the thinking is. Verse 20. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his ways. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. For the child of God, this is the greatest deterrent to any sin, including the sin of adultery. Our ways are before the eyes of the Lord. This is why a child of God has the power to overcome the temptation to adultery. It's not because we have so much willpower. It's not because we don't have the same temptations. It's because we have the very life of Christ within us. And that life within us yearns to honor God. And if we will yield to that life, we will respond and overcome the temptation to not only the sin of adultery, but all of the steps in the path, including pornography. If you truly fear the Lord, you will take the necessary steps to stay off of the path. I found this to be an interesting stat. About 50% of extramarital affairs take place under the cover of darkness at night. In the shadows of night, in an attempt to hide the shame of their act. Viewing pornography most often is done secretly when you think no one is watching. That mentality ignores this instruction in Proverbs, the eyes of the Lord. I know whether anybody else is watching. I know the Lord is watching. And if I fear the Lord, as we've been reading in Proverbs, my desire will always be to please Him, whether anybody knows about it or not. I want to please Him, and I want to never displease Him. And when I fall short of that, I want the Holy Spirit to bring me to conviction and repentance and to return to a place of obedience, because I know the Lord is watching. That is not the fear of a tyrant who's watching and ready to break my neck or to hurt me, but it's my loving Lord who gave His life for me, who desires me to enter into His best. That motivates me to do what's right, whether anybody is watching or not. Numbers 32:23. When you try to hide the lie of adultery, when you are walking down the path to adultery, you need to understand, even when you appear to get away with it, you do not. Numbers 32:23. But if you do not do so, then take note. Instruction to the people of Israel to do the right thing. You have sinned against the Lord. When you ignore His instruction, whatever it is, in whatever dispensation we're talking about, when you ignore the instruction of the will of God and the wisdom of God, you sin against the Lord. And be sure, your sin will find you out. Let's go to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. Paul tells us the same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Again, for those who truly fear the Lord, who truly love the Lord, this is sufficient. To know that the ways, our ways, my ways, are before the eyes of the Lord. And to know that not only does this bring destruction to me and my family and to countless others around me, this sin of adultery, it brings reproach to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only the act itself, but the path to it is sin and corruption and grieves the Holy Spirit. Do you love the Lord this evening? These instructions, I did not want to put this to go to two lessons, but I'm going to have to because I don't want to shorten it either. So I'm going to give you what the next lesson, Lord willing. Let's see, Christy and I are going away for a little vacation. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Lord willing, I'll give you five main reasons that have been documented to be the main reasons for adultery. And I found it interesting that each of these five top reasons for adultery, why people say this is why I committed adultery, that in each of these five areas, the Scripture gives very specific instruction that if those instructions were heeded, the sin would not have been committed. And so I don't want to rush through that, but I'll simply give you those five reasons and you can be searching the Scripture for yourself. Loneliness. One or the other or both say, I'm just lonely because I'm living my life and my spouse is living his or her life. Second, communication. We just don't talk. We just don't communicate. Thirdly, a lack of love and affection. Just a tenderness toward one another. Fourth, a poor sexual relationship in the marriage. Boredom. And fifth, a complete lack or a near complete lack of intimacy altogether. in the marriage. Those are the five top reasons that have been given for the sin of adultery. And Scripture addresses each of these areas very clearly and very specifically. And Lord willing, we'll deal with that the next time we're in Proverbs. Let's stand.